So I was asked to talk about Brihad Bhagavatamrita. How many of you have seen this book or have read any of it? Okay. It's too expensive for brahmacharis. The book is quite expensive. Srila Sanatana Goswami wrote this book. He wrote it quite early, before Rupa Goswami wrote his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Quite a bit before Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's one of the earliest major books by the Goswamis. And it's special because, unlike many of the other works of the Goswamis, it's accessible. It's something that any Vaishnav can read and get full benefit from. It's not too intimate, too esoteric for us to approach. Although this book presents all the sublime mysteries of devotional service, everything about how to serve Krishna, how to reach Krishna and reach Krishna's highest abode, is revealed. Bhagavatamrita, so it means the distilled essence, the nectar of the Bhagavatam. It's not a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, an explanation of the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sanatana Goswami wrote a commentary on the Bhagavatam, the Vaishnav Toshani. This is something different. In this book, we get the message of the Bhagavatam, but presented in a different way. The Bhagavatam itself is mostly narrations. It's not a book of heavy philosophy like the Vedanta Sutra. Bhagavatam is meant for the general public, not just for professional philosophers and gyanis. So the Bhagavatam tells the stories of devotees, but mostly about kings, dynasties, of the sun god and of the moon god. Because this is interesting matter. It's interesting to read about what some kshatriya did. Kshatriyas do interesting, exciting things. If the discussion was mostly about how brahmanas performed devotional service and went back to Godhead, it wouldn't be very interesting. And he sat down, he did achaman and meditated. That's okay, to hear about that. But, people need to be entertained. So the Bhagavatam is very entertaining. So that much is shared by the Brihad Bhagavatamrita keeps that, the same kind of narrative format, story form. But the stories are different. These two stories that are presented in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita are not anywhere in the Bhagavatam. These are just two stories that Sanatana Goswami put together. We might think that this is fiction, that Sanatana Goswami made this up. That could be possible. A Vaishnav can also write fiction to glorify Krishna, as long as it's understood that it's just like in the Bhagavatam, Narada tells the parable, the story of Puranjana. It's not supposed to be accepted as history. Narada says that, I'll tell you a story, and it's just a story he makes up to teach, to preach. But we know it is, nobody's pretending that it's history. This, Sanatana Goswami says, not that the story itself is historical fact, But he says that not that it's not his book, that he didn't write the book. That actually it's an ancient Shastra that has been lost, and now he's recovering it. He says that originally this Brihad Bhagavatamrita was the appendix of the Mahabharata, but not the Mahabharata that we know, which was spoken by Vaishampayana. There are other versions of the Mahabharata also. Shukadeva and other disciples of Vyasadeva each spoke their own versions of the Mahabharata. Among them was Jaimini, whom we generally consider a Karmi. Jaimini is the author of the Karma Mimamsa Sutras, which emphasizes the ritualistic performative sacrifice and de-emphasizes the importance of the Upanishads and of any knowledge of the Supreme. Jaimini says in the Mimamsa Sutras that the devatas, demigods, who are worshipped and sacrificed, it may exist or it may not exist, it doesn't matter. They're useful concepts in order to encourage people to perform sacrifice. Whether the demigods even exist or not isn't important. So looking at him like that, we would think that Jaimini is some sort of materialist. But not, it's not what it seems. That same Jaimini reveals himself as a very elevated devotee, according to Sanatana Goswami. And especially that shows in the version of the Mahabharata that Jaimini spoke. Unfortunately, it doesn't exist anymore. We don't have any copies of that Mahabharata. But Sanatana Goswami tells us that the book that he's presenting here is actually the original appendix. Just like the Mahabharata of Vaishampayana has the Harivamsa, very famous Purana, which is full of descriptions of Krishna's pastimes. That Harivamsa is the appendix to Vaishampayana's Mahabharata. This Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami tells us, is the original appendix to Jaimini's Mahabharata. So we might as well believe what Sanatana Goswami tells us, that somehow or other, in his meditation, he received this, reclaimed this book, this lost book, through his own meditation. This is a Vedic sage. The original Vedic sages were able to receive the lost Vedic mantras, the eternal mantras, in their meditation. And so every mantra of the Rig Veda and the other Vedas indicates every sukta, or collection of mantras, prayer. There's a marking at the top of who is the sage, who is the rishi who received this mantra in his meditation. So that's the business of a Vedic rishi, to receive Vedic mantras. So Sanatana Goswami, being one of the intimate associates of Srimati Radharani, these are the Adi Shaktis, the original energies of God. Sanatana Goswami is among them. So they're the original rishis. The origin of all arts and sciences comes from the gopis of Vrindavan. So why can't he do the function of a rishi and receive forgotten shastras in his own meditation? So he claims he's done this here. And the book itself traces it, the story back further, that this narration that goes on here was originally a conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and his own mother, Uttara. And it occurred, the conversation happened after Shukadev Goswami finished reciting the Bhagavatam. Immediately after. Which means that Shukadev should have had only a few minutes left to his life. Shukadev was not on the scene when Takshaka bit Pariksit Maharaj. He left before that. It wasn't his business to be there at that time. But according to what Jaimini tells his disciple, Jaimini is speaking to Janamejaya, the same Janamejaya who heard from Vaishampayana. He heard the other version also from Jaimini. And he tells him that actually, yes, Mother Uttara came to Pariksit at the moment he was supposed to be bitten, just before. But in order to speak this book, that few minutes was stretched out to 1 or 2 hours, during which he spoke this Brihad Bhagavatamrita to his mother. He told her, "My dear mother, I have to take your request very seriously. You're asking me," she asked him, "please, I wasn't here to listen to the speaking of the Bhagavatam. I missed it. I'm your mother, so I'm not very happy that you're going to leave your body. But what I'm really anxiety about is that I haven't heard the Bhagavatam. So I know you only have a short time. Please distill the essence of it for me. Tell it to me quickly. The nectar of the Bhagavatam. Just like the nectar distilled from the milk ocean." Pariksit replied, "My dear mother, at a time like this, one should withdraw his senses and prepare to leave his body, especially knowing when you're going to leave. But your request, because it's coming from you, you're my mother and a great devotee, and you're asking me to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, I can't refuse. Your request is making my tongue, agitated to speak." So he spoke. There are two parts to the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, two different stories. One is about Narada, who is searching for the greatest devotee of Krishna. Of course, Narada is not ignorant. He knows about the different devotees, but he's playing a pastime. Searching out one devotee after another. He started on the earth. He went to some brahmana who sent him to some king who was a better devotee. The king sent him to Indra. Indra sent him to... And it goes on and on. He ends up going all the way up to Dwarka, meeting Krishna himself. The Dwarkavasis tell Narada that the best devotee here is Uddhava. They go to Uddhava. Narada goes to Uddhava. And finally, Narada finds out from Krishna himself that the gopis of Vrindavan are the greatest devotees. Actually, what Krishna doesn't say that. What Krishna tells him, after all of this, Narada came to meet Krishna, and Krishna invited him to lunch. And while they were taking lunch, Narada said, "Can I ask you a confidential question? I've been wandering all over the universe looking for your greatest devotee. Can you tell me who you consider your greatest devotee?" And Krishna simply laughed at him, and said, "Narada, don't you understand? You've been going all over the universe meeting dozens of devotees. Don't you understand they all have my complete mercy, every one of them? From the simple Brahman and the king on the earth up to the gopis of Vrindavan, every one of them has my full mercy. There's just different, there's a hierarchy, but still everyone is completely under my protection, and I'm satisfied with all of them." Anyway, that's the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The second part has a similar story, but it occurs different characters. The main character is Gopakumara. We're going to be introduced to him today. I'll read some passages. A young boy born in Govardhan, not educated, naive boy, didn't know anything of the world, or anything about spiritual culture. But he gets the mercy of Krishna through one of his devotees and receives the Gopal mantra and becomes very eager to find Gopal, to find his worshipable deity, the deity of his mantra. And he travels all over the universe and beyond. So let's start reading, and we'll discuss as we read. This is not the beginning of the first chapter. Okay, I have to find the page. I lost the page again. Hold on. Okay. So Gopakumar has met a brahmana who has come to take shelter of him, because that brahmana has been initiated into the same Gopal mantra. So we won't tell his story, but he meets Gopakumara. And Gopakumara, to set him in the right direction, enlighten him about Krishna consciousness, decides to tell his own life story. Even though it's not appropriate to glorify yourself, to speak about your own good fortune, it's the only way he can win the confidence of the brahmana and convince him about who his Supreme Lord really is and what devotional service to Krishna actually involves. So he goes ahead narrating the story of what happened to him. So I'll start from the beginning of that. And I'll read the Sanskrit also. Gopala vritir vaishyasya govardhana nivasinaha putroham idrisho balaha puragash charayan nijaha. I am the son of a vaishya of Govardhan, who made his living as a cowherd. As a young boy of that community, I used to tend my own cows. Tasmin govardhane krishna tire vindavane tracha mature mandale balaih samam vipra varastitaha. O best of learned brahmanas, I stayed in the company of other boys there at Govardhan, here in Vrindavan, on the banks of the Jamuna, and at various other places in the district of Mathura. Sanatana Goswami has written his own commentary on his book. So I've tried to paraphrase the commentary, and that's what I'll read now. Commentary on this verse. Now, Gopakumara begins his story, which will continue till the end of the sixth chapter. That extends into the third volume. This is the second volume. Gopakumar was born in a Vaishya community, in a family of cowherds. You see, some Gwalas are actually outcasts, low class, not even, you know, below Shudras. But some Vaishyas are also cowherds. Even in Braja, there are those two different classes of cowherds. Those who are Pulindas and Pukashas, outcasts, Abiras. The word Abira, it's actually Abira is the caste. Abira is a caste of low class cowherds. And the Abiras live also in Vrindavan. But Nanda Maharaj and his group are actually Vaishyas, also engaged in cow protection. Sometimes the Yadus, who are in the group of Nanda Maharaj, are called Abiras, but it's not proper. They're not Abiras, they're Vaishyas. And Gopakumar also was born of a Vaishya family. Many scriptures, including Srimad Bhagavatam, that's 10th Canto, chapter 24, verse 21, described that Vaishyas may engage in four occupational occupations: trade, banking, farming, and cow protection. Krishi go vanijya go raksha kusidam. As this history unfolds, we shall find that although a long time has passed since Gopukumar was an innocent boy at Govardhan, he has not aged at all. As he explains later, this was due to a blessing given him by his spiritual master. Tvam etasya prabhavena chira jivi bhavan voham idri gopar bhavrupascha tatpalap yarhamana saha. By the potency of this mantra, his guru is speaking to Gopukumar. By the potency of this mantra, may you live a long time. May you always have the form of a cowherd boy. And may you develop the right mentality for tasting the mantra's fruit. This is what we need. This is the blessings of the Vaishnavs, the blessings of our spiritual master. Then we are sure to achieve success. What we have to do is simply satisfy our spiritual masters, whatever that takes, and then Krishna will be satisfied. I'll continue. Gopukumar's tending a herd of his own cows means that his family was relatively well-to-do and independent. In the course of doing his work, he wandered all over the area within the 24 yojana circumference of Mathura Mandala. Among the places he used for cowherding, his special favorites were Govardhan, the forest of Vrindavan, and the shores of the Jamuna. These were also Krishna's favorite places. Govardhan Hill, the forest of Vrindavan, and the shores of the Jamuna. Sometimes Gopukumar went to other locations in the Dham, like Mahavan. But according to one transcendental opinion, Vrajabhumi consists of nothing but Govardhan, Vrindavan, and the Jamuna, since these three places pervade the entire Dham. In any case, there is no place outside of Vrajadhamma where a cowherd can get real benefit from his occupation. Gopukumar addresses his new student by saying, "O best of the learned Brahmanas," because the student hails from the Brahman community of Mathura. Brahmins should be respected, even if they're not well-behaved, even if they're ignorant. This particular Brahmana, although he was born in Mathura, he was very materialistic, only interested in getting some money. Even his family was not satisfied with him. He was living away from Mathura in, what's the place? Tejpur. Not Tejpur. Tejpur is, yes, Tejpur, which is actually Guwahati. And there is the temple of Kamakya Devi. Fearsome, bloody deity of Durga. That temple, I read in one history book, the claim is that when it was reopened, the temple had, the worship had stopped, but in 1817, the deity was reinstalled and worship was begun again. And it says in the report that there were over 100 human sacrifices performed at that time. Yeah, so that's what a bloody form of worship. This is Kamakya Devi. So he was a worshipper of Kamakya Devi, this Brahmana, even though he originally came from Mathura. But Kamakya Devi appeared to him in a dream, told him, "Let me give you a great gift. You've been worshipping me very nicely. Take this mantra." And she gave him the Gopal mantra. He didn't know what it was, She didn't tell him. But he, out of respect for Davy, he started chanting the mantra and continued chanting it. And that led to his good fortune. He lost his attraction to wealth, left his family, and started wandering. He went first to the shore of the Ganga. Then he went to Prayag. Then he went to Benares. Kamakhya Devi appeared in the dream along with Lord Shiva and told him he was going to take sannyas and become a Mayavadi sannyasi, because he was associating with the Mayavadis in Kashi. Kamakhya Devi told him in the dream, and Lord Shiva was there to back her up. You know, don't do this, you fool. Don't take sannyas. I told you before, go to Vrindavan. There you'll find the fulfillment of all your desires. So finally he listened to her and went off to Vrindavan, and now he's met Gopukumara, who is now becoming his spiritual master, and is going to deliver him by telling his own history. Any questions so far? Okay. Hare Krishna. I'll continue then.
Vanamadye cha pasyamo nityam ekam dvijotamam divyam urtim viraktyadyam paryatantam itastataha. In the forest we regularly saw a certain first-class brahmana wandering from place to place. He was very renounced, and his body appeared like that of a god.
Gopakumar is speaking about himself as a boy in Govardhan. They used to see this brahmana.
Commentary. The person the boys frequently saw was in truth the best of brahmanas. His body was golden and very beautiful. Kirtayantam mufu krishnam japa dhyana ratam kvachit nityantam kvapi gayantam kvapi hasa param kvachit.
He was always chanting the glories of Krishna. Sometimes he sang, and sometimes danced. Sometimes absorbed in meditation, he chanted his mantra to himself. And sometimes he gave himself over to laughter. Commentary on this verse. The outstanding characteristic of this Brahmana was that he always vibrated Krishna's glories, either with the two-syllable name Krishna or with other names of the personality of Godhead. He would sing these names sweetly in various ways. He sometimes appeared withdrawn into his private japa and dhyana, while he dutifully performed daily, which he dutifully performed daily, even though he was already perfect in chanting the Lord's holy names. As the tantras prescribe, even a person who has perfected the chanting of his mantra should continue to perform regular worship through japa and dhyana, japa and dhyana, to show gratitude to his spiritual benefactors. The statement is, Siddha mantro pi putatma trisandhyam devam archayet niyamen aika sandhyam va japed ashtotaram shatam. Even if one has perfected his mantra and is completely pure in heart, he should still worship the Lord at the three junctures of the day by the method prescribed. Or at least at one of these three times he should do this worship. And 108 times he should chant japa of his mantra. Because we're asked to chant 16 times that minimum every day. When the brahmana seemed withdrawn, intent on his prescribed chanting and meditation, in fact his outward senses,
were inactive not because he was controlling them out of duty, but because ecstatic love was swelling up within him. If we read it later on, it's described the instructions that Gopakumar later receives from Narada. Gopakumar has entered Vaikuntha. This is skipping ahead to the fourth chapter of the second part. And he's not satisfied even in Vaikuntha. He has the association of Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan is very kind to him. Narayan himself can't take his flute out. The devotees are too formal with him. You know, he doesn't feel at home so much there, so he can't, you know, he has to hide his flute. But Gopakumar is a cowherd boy. You know, he feels sympathetic for him. Cowherd boy from Gopakumar. So he lets Gopakumar entertain him with his flute. That much he can do. Still Gopakumar is not satisfied. He doesn't feel like he's really at home either. So he doesn't know what to do because, you know, Vaikuntha is the topmost abode. There's nowhere else to go. There is no higher place. But Narada comes by and brings Gopakumar to the side where nobody's listening. He doesn't want to get any of the Vaikuntha Vasis angry at him, so he takes him to a private place and tells him, you know, there is a better place. I can tell you about it. But you've been chanting your mantra and you've gotten up to Vaikuntha by chanting this mantra. Now you have to change that mantra meditation into Nam Sankirtana. It's not the same thing. The formal chanting of the mantra will get you liberation, will get you to Vaikuntha. But only Nam Sankirtana will get you into Goloka. What's the difference? Nam Sankirtana has to be performed in pure love. A formal chanting of one's mantra, japa meditation, is done according to rules and regulations. But Nam Sankirtan is spontaneous, done out of pure love. The japa, the meditation on a mantra, is done according to the Pancharatrika system. Nam Sankirtan is the Bhagavad Marga introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are two different paths, although we practice both of them. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, although the Gaudiya Sampradaya, there's always deity worship. And there is, most Gaudiya Vaishnavas practice taking diksha. Even the Babajis take their diksha. That's Pancharatrika process. The Harinam can be chanted by everybody without diksha. Otherwise, Sampradaya Vihinaye Mantraste Nishpalamata. If you try to chant some mantra without being initiated in it, initiated by a representative of one of the four Vaishnav Sampradayas, then your chanting will not bear any fruit. You have to be initiated. To worship Vishnu, you must receive diksha. And chanting the mantra is also worship of Vishnu. You cannot chant the mantra of Vishnu. You cannot worship the deity without getting diksha. That is the Pancharatrika system. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas have always practiced that. That was taught by Rupa Goswami. We should take diksha from a Vaishnav and we should worship the deity. These are given to us as basic processes of devotional service. So we also follow the Pancharatrika system. But our main worship is Nam Sankirtan, which is on a different level. So Gopakumar eventually is going to be introduced into Nam Sankirtan. And this Brahmana, who turns out to be Gopakumar's guru, he's, as described in the commentary here, he's doing his chanting on the level of pure love. It's not just formalized according to rules and regulations. other sampradayas, as explained by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the other Vaishnava sampradayas, actually it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they follow mainly the Pancharatrika system. So there's great emphasis in other Vaishnava sampradayas on mainly deity worship. The other Vaishnava sampradayas don't do much chanting of Hare Krishna. Even though Nam Sankirtan is emphasized in Srimad Bhagavatam over and over again as the Yuga Dharma. But many Vaishnavas, or at least those who are not followers of Lord Chaitanya, give only lip service to that fact, of the essential importance of chanting the names of the Lord in Kali Yuga. Instead, they're engaged mostly in deity worship and study of Vedanta Sutra. This is emphasis on the Pancharatrika mark. But in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, our emphasis is on Nam Sankirtan. And Gopakumara is being introduced into that path. So, any comments or questions? No? Okay. Yes, but
explain that Kali Yuga can be crossed over only by the holy name. So the other Vaishnava sampradaya do not emphasize so much on the holy name. So what is the reservation of that people follow?
Well, we have the opinion of Krishnadas Kaviraj about those who are devotees of Krishna but do not acknowledge that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Those who do not worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says they cannot make any real progress. That they're stuck. Like somebody treading water. In the water, you know, you're not drowning, but you're not going anywhere either. You're keeping your head above the water. So the Vaishnavas who do not who after the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do not acknowledge him as Krishna himself, they cannot make any further progress. They won't become degraded, they won't become animals or go to hell. But they're not, whatever they've achieved, they're not going to achieve anything more until they acknowledge Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a strong statement, but it's made by Krishnadas Kaviraj. And look around, you can see how true it is. Not to insult anybody or commit offenses, but in the other sampradayas, they're mostly practicing mixed devotional service, Karma Mishra Bhakti and Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Generally, they are householders are practicing Karma Mishra Bhakti, and there are a few sannyasis who are practicing Jnana Mishra Bhakti. That's the facts of life. You can look and see yourself. So we should be careful not to mix our devotional service too much. We're following a very strict path. What we're being given is a process of pure devotional service. Shuddha, Uttama Bhakti. We may not be pure, but the practice that we're following is the process, the method of pure devotional service. We can say that we're engaged in pure devotional service. We're engaged in the practice of it. This is not a mixed process. Okay.
Which of the other sampradayas are active presently?
Yes? I'm sorry?
Yeah. Which of the other sampradayas?
I guess three of them. I don't know if the original Vishnu Swami Sampradaya is not extant mainly because his books were destroyed by the Buddhists. So we don't and the Sampradaya was defunct. But Balabhacharya was offered the position of head of that Sampradaya. So the Pushti Marga, they claim to be the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. So if we include them, then all four. Nimbarka Sampradaya is active. Although what they present as their belief doesn't exactly match what Nimbarkacharya wrote in his books. They present themselves as worshippers of Radha Krishna. But Nimbarkacharya himself didn't mention anything about Radha Krishna in his books. Anyway, that Sampradaya is there. And in the south, the Madhva and Ramanuja Sampradayas are still going on strong. So all four Sampradayas and half a dozen other new ones, which are not really connected with any of the four.
especially Vrindavan, is like a factory for new sampradayas.
Hare Krishna.
Many of them claim to be worshipping Srimati Radharani directly, you know, ignoring Krishna. Because the servants of Srimati Radharani, yes, they have special allegiance to her. You know. But we shouldn't imitate that and say, oh, I only know Radharani, I don't know Krishna. If you're really that close to Radharani, okay. But if you imitate that, then that's offensive. So, anyway, these other sampradayas are there, but we don't take them that seriously. Yeah. We're concerned about the four orthodox sampradayas. Unfortunately, though anyone who doesn't accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being, not just being a great saint, but as being Krishna himself, his spiritual progress is checked, stopped. That's why I guess it was Prabhupada's instruction that the Pariyatra should travel, especially in the south, with the deities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gornitai. This is what the people in the south are missing. They have Krishna consciousness, but they don't recognize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's what they're missing. Same. I mean, both mean... Well, the words have literally different meanings. Sampradaya is a party or a school. Like a dal, you know, like a political party or a group. And parampara means indirect chain. Like you don't... I don't give you the money directly. I give it to him, and he gives it to him, and he gives it to him, and he gives it to you. That's parampara. Indirect connection. But they both, the way they're used, in the sense of a disciplic succession, they're both used in the same, they both become synonymous. They both mean just disciplic succession. So there's no technical difference. Although the words literally have different meanings, in the technical spiritual sense, they're synonymous. No esoteric difference between the two. Okay. Now we say Guru Parampara, Guru Sampradaya, Vaishnava Sampradaya. It means the same thing.
Okay.
Okay, so we go on? Yeah, please.
Remember Sampradaya, Madhavendra Puri was the one who introduced Madhavi Bhakti, you know?
Yes.
And then it came down the line. Somebody asked me a question in one of the classes. Madhavendra Puri is eternally a Kalpataru in the spiritual sky. So,
the Kalpataru is Nishantara,
how
do we introduce
the
Madhurya? Well, in Rajadam, don't assume that because someone is a tree that he's Nishantaras. I don't know about Vaikuntha, but Krishna's attractive power is so great that even the rocks, the stones, the trees, the birds, the animals become overwhelmed with prema. And not just Shantarasa. So you might think a tree should just be in Shantarasa, but not if he's a tree from Vrajadam. Udava, yes. He lives in the bushes. He's hiding in the bushes. I don't think he's a bush himself.
But the way it's written on the walls of the Udava Kunda.
That he...
Yeah, he it says... Incarnated. You remember this?
As a bush?
Yeah. I mean, anyway, it's English. It's very, you know, funny. But anyway,
okay, maybe, but I didn't think
what
he...
Says.
Yeah.
You don't remember on the wall of the...
Yeah.
Where the Udhava Kunda is there?
Yes. Okay, well, I don't know. I mean, nobody knows which bush he is. Yeah. Yeah, so, just, you know... It doesn't mean that he's not only in Shantarasa. Yes, bro? Sure.
You quoted that statement. Yeah. Chanting the mantra. If the mantra is from the sun, from Parampara, then chanting of that mantra is fruitless.
Yes.
So, but what makes Hare Krishna mantra so important that we say that? But see, if somebody chants a Hare Krishna mantra, his heart becomes purified. What makes?
Well, the mantra itself is more potent than other mantras. And also, the initiation has been given. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered every man, woman, and child in the universe to chant. That's the initiation. Everybody's already initiated into chanting Hare Krishna. Okay? And it's especially potent beside that. It's the most intimate manifestation in sound of Krishna and his internal pleasure potency. Far as I know. You heard the question? It's a question that raises some controversy, but I don't know of any precedent for in any sampradaya, Vaishnava or other sampradayas, of posthumous initiations.
No, I'm asking in the context of your previous statement that everyone is initiated with
Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu. So in the light of that, I'm asking.
Okay, there are exceptions. I mean, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took his sannyas initiation from a picture of his guru. So, if the guru is God, he can do whatever he wants. And if the disciple is a Paramahamsa, he can do what he wants. But normally, if the guru isn't God and the disciple isn't a Paramahamsa, you have to follow the normal process. Okay? That's the normal process. They have rare exceptions. I mean, Shukadeva Goswami didn't take initiation at all. Only one example I can think of someone who got away with not taking initiation. Even Krishna himself took initiation. Okay, should we go on?
I lost the page again, hold on.
You put a Prabhupada's picture.
Prabhupada's picture, sorry. Okay.
Okay, we're reading the description of how the boys saw this brahmana and the symptoms he was exhibiting. Vikroshantam kwachid bhumau skalantam kwapi matavat lutantam bhuvi kutrapi rudantam kwachid uchakaihi. Sometimes he shouted or loudly sobbed or stumbled and fell to the ground or rolled about on the ground like a madman. Visamgyam patitam kwapi shleshma lala shudaraya pankayantam gavam vartma vrajam si mitavat kwachit. Sometimes he fell unconscious and lay still like a corpse. The flood of his mucus, saliva, and tears turning the dust on the cow path into mud. Commentary. Because the brahmana was practicing such intense chanting of the Lord's names, he would sometimes feel joy so immense that he would lose outward consciousness. Sometimes he would collapse without wetting the ground. Without wetting the ground as described here. And then he would appear to have died. Kautukena vayambala yamo mum vikshitum sada satu gopa kumarano labdva namati bhaktitaha. Out of curiosity, we cowherd boys.
Able, have a seat.
I'm supposed to go on till 5 o'clock. Okay? No, I'm not going to stop yet. Corey, you don't need me right now. Okay. Okay. Out of curiosity, we cowherd boys would often come look at him. But when he saw us in front of him, he would bow down to us with devotion. Commentary. He apparently had great respect for the boys
despite their having no special respect for him. Gadamashlishyati premna sarvangeshu sachumbanam parichatumna shaknoti madvisham priyabanduvat. He would heartily embrace us and affectionately cover us with kisses, as if we were his best friends. He was unable to give up our company. Commentary. Immersed in Krishna prema, this Brahmana was attracted to these village boys because they resembled young Krishna and his cowherd friends. Priyabandhu has several meanings. Best friends, close relatives, most dear devotees of the Lord, and the Supreme Lord, who is dear to his devotees. These are all the comments of Sanatana Goswami. I didn't make them up. So, the pure devotees who go to Vrindavana, they have great respect for the residents of that place, even though they may not appear to be very well behaved. They disregard that, the external appearance. Even Jiva Goswami, when he first went to Navadvip, he questioned, it was Nityananda Prabhu who was showing him around. And he asked, they're all supposed to be the residents, eternal associates of Krishna, very dear to him. Why do I see people engaged in so many sinful activities? I'm confused. So even Jiva Goswami had some difficulty seeing the perfect condition, the perfect position of the residents of the Dham. That was Navadvip Dham. And people can be just as bad behaved in Vrindavan Dham. Even at this time, not just Kali Yuga, this life of Gopal Kumar was different day of Brahma many millions of years ago. Hundreds of millions of years ago. Gopal Kumar's guru had no problem being very affectionate to and being very respectful to even these young boys who weren't showing him any great respect. There are a few lessons we can learn from this. One is that very often our judgment is clouded by our wrong way of judging other people. We decide that someone is good or bad according to whether they satisfy our selfish desires. This person gratifies me and is useful for my sense gratification. He's a good person. And this person is giving me a hard time and is in my way. He's bad. We, even practicing devotional service, we're still subject to this fallacy of judging people according to what they do for us. But a pure devotee is beyond that. He can see. He has a clear vision because he doesn't judge people like that. So, this great devotee who's the guru of Gopa Kumara, he's not confused by the external appearances, and he can accept that these young boys, even though they're not well behaved, are very dear to Krishna. Being dear to Krishna, they're automatically dear to him. So Natan Goswami is writing this. He himself had that attitude. He had great affection for all the residents of Vraja. And he spent some years of his time, although he finally settled down, he spent the last years of his life at Manasi Ganga. But he, for some time he was wandering all over the Dham, from village to village. And because he felt great affection for the Vrijbasis. Vrijbasis may not be very educated or cultured, but they are sensitive. You can tell for yourself. If you have any bad vibrations, they'll pick them up. Or good vibrations. If you're sympathetic, they'll understand that. So they recognize that Sanatana Goswami was sympathetic. And therefore, they all came to him. They treated him like their father. And they would
come wherever, whatever village he came to, they would flock to him to get his audience. And he would always be very friendly, Sanatana Goswami. He would ask them how their family is, how their cows are. Brijbasis are concerned about these things. First, the cows. How many cows do you have? How much milk do they give? And then, you know, how many children do you have? Are you able to get your daughters married? These are the concerns of the Brijbasis. So Sanatana Goswami was dealing with them very affectionately like that. When he passed away, all the men of Vraja shaved their heads as if their own father had died. So this is actually the beginning of Muriya Purnima, or what we know around India as Guru Purnima. It's actually the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami. In Vrindavan, everybody should come to worship Sanatana Goswami, but not many people do it anymore. Everybody comes to Govardhan to do the parikrama. They forget that Muriya Purnima is actually the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami. It's originally named after the fact that everyone shaved their head. Nowadays, people go home to their own villages to worship their gurus on Muriya Purnima, those who don't go to Govardhan for parikrama. But our practice in our sampradaya is we worship our guru on his birthday, and we worship Sanatana Goswami on Muriya Purnima. Anyway, his own attitude toward the Vrijbasis is being reflected in how he describes this great brahmana. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I'll read a little more.
Maya gura sadanadi sevaya sau prasaditaha ekada yamuna tire prapya lingya jagadamam.
He was pleased with my services, like giving gifts of milk products. One day, meeting me on the shore of the Jamuna, he embraced me and spoke in this way.
How gore that hurts. I'm sorry. My back is sore.
Okay, commentary. Gopakumar gave his new friend presents of milk, yogurt, and other milk products, and would always carry his water pot and follow him around. This kind of voluntary service pleased the great soul, who became disposed to give the boy his mercy. So it didn't take much. Gopakumar, more than the other boys, reciprocated with the affection of the brahmana and wanted to do some service for him. He did a few simple services, but the brahman was very pleased and wanted to show his mercy. Not in some superficial way, but in the most valuable way.
And we'll find out right now.
Vatsa tvam sakala bhishta siddhim icchasi chedimam prasadam jagadishasya snatva keshyam grihaname.
My dear child, if you want to fulfill all your desires, please bathe at Keshigat, and then accept from me this mercy of the Lord of the Universe. This is all happening right, very near Keshigat in Vrindavan. Commentary. Normally, we consider the mercy of the Supreme Lord something intangible, but the saintly brahmana called it this mercy as if it was a tangible object in front of them. He told Gopakumar, just take it from me, as if literally placing it in his hands.
Evam etam bhavan mantram snat tayo batidesha me purna kamo napekshiopi sadayalu shiro manihi.
Thus, after I bathed, he imparted to me the same mantra that you were chanting. Although he was fully satisfied in himself and indifferent to material things, he was the crest jewel of all compassionate souls. Commentary. Since Gopakumara
and his student have been initiated into the same mantra, their relationship should become very friendly. When Gopakumara got his mantra, he should not have thought that this was his guru's way of reciprocating the gifts of buttermilk and yogurt. His guru, being fully self-satisfied, did not need his service. Only out of infinite compassion for the fallen souls did the guru show Gopakumara his mercy. Okay, I'll read two more verses, and then we'll wrap it up. Is that okay? Yeah. I mean, it'll be less than full time. Puja vidim shikshayitum dyeyam ucharayan jape prema kulogato moham rudam viharini vasaha. So my guru was about to explain the method of worshipping with the mantra, but as soon as he mentioned the object of the meditation, he was overcome by pure love of God, became confused, and started crying like a woman separated from her lover. Commentary: Gopakumara's guru had the instructions for properly using the mantra just on the tip of his tongue. He was about to tell Gopakumara how to touch the body with the syllables of the mantra, how to meditate systematically on the meaning of the mantra, and all the other details for reciting the mantra in worship. But as soon as he started to describe the beautiful form of Sriman Madana Gopala, a sudden ecstasy caught hold of him, and crying like a lovesick woman, remembering her distant beloved, he lost his train of thought. Samgyam prapto takinchina prashtum shakto maya bhya utaya vimenasko gat kwapi praptat punar nasaha. When he regained normal consciousness, I was afraid to ask him anything. He stood up and went away, distressed. And after that, he was nowhere to be found. Commentary: having just received initiation, Gopakumara felt deep reverence for his spiritual master. And without first being spoken to, he dared not say anything. He feared he might have done something offensive to upset his guru, and thought that if he said anything wrong, his guru might start crying again. Why didn't the saintly brahmana give her the missing instructions? He asked. Rather, unasked, without being asked. In his ecstatic mood, he was unhappy and distracted, so he went away saying nothing. And because he had no fixed residence, he was not to be found again. So here we're left at the point Gopakumara has received his initiation, but it hasn't been explained to him what this mantra is, even who the deity of the mantra is, or to speak of how to properly chant. There are no such hard and fast rules for chanting Hare Krishna. Gopakumara has received the ten syllable Gopal mantra. This is also a Pancharatrika mantra. Actually, we are also chanting Gopal mantra, but our mantra has, I think, 12 syllables. There are about 30 different versions of the Gopal mantra. Gopakumara is receiving a different one, shorter version. Actually, it's the same mantra with some syllables missing. Sanatana Goswami doesn't give the mantra in his book. You're not supposed to know it unless you get the initiation. Actually, you can find out. So, you know, he tells us that the book Kramadipika, which is actually written by a member of the Nimbarka Sampradaya, Keshava Bhatta, but it's such a nice book that it's used by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas also. It explains how to worship Krishna and about the different mantras. So in that book you can find the mantra.
And we've dug it up. You know, but we didn't include it here because Sanatana Goswami didn't include it. So normally for mantras, you do have to go through all these rituals. There's something called purifying the mantra. And you do sort of a divination to see whether the mantra will be successful for the student or not. If it turns out that the mantra is not good for him, that it will actually do him harm, then you don't give initiation that mantra. You go find some other mantra or find another disciple.
Hare Krishna.
And then you have to go through all sorts of processes. We're almost done, Guru. 2 minutes. Of purifying the mantra and Hare Krishna, don't do that. And purifying the disciple. And then when you're taught that when you chant, you should first of all perform these mudras and this nyasa, you know, saying the syllables of the mantra while touching different parts of your body. That's not part of the Sankirtan process, Bhagavat Mark. Actually, in his Raghavartam of Chandrika, which describes the basic methods of Raghunuga Bhakti, one of the first things that Vishwanath Chakravarti says is that this nyasa and mudra are detrimental to the practice of Raghunuga Bhakti. So we're not practicing Raghunuga Bhakti yet, so it won't kill us if we want to do a few nyasas and mudras. But for those who engage in remembering Radha Krishna, it's just a distraction. But Gopi Kumar, because he's being initiated into the Pancharatrika process, he was supposed to get this. Actually, he didn't get it. It's Krishna's arrangement. You know, so he didn't get too caught up in the Pancharatrika process. He's got the mantra. He doesn't know what it is. But he has no obstacle to him becoming very serious about chanting it. He's eager to chant it. And we'll have to read on to find out the results. Okay. So are there any comments or questions? Okay, so if you don't mind, I'll just wrap it up here. Okay, thank you. I'm not sick anymore, but my back's a little sore, that's all. Okay. I just don't have the endurance. Everybody else here? Yeah? Yes? Really? Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Sanatana Goswami.